This is Israeli Technology Founders Speak, a podcast of conversations with successful Israeli high-tech and biotech entrepreneurs, with your host, Avraham Hermon. Dvir Ginsburg is the CEO and founder of Insight, an Israeli fintech startup that has created an automated financial advisor to help explain and sell financial products to consumers online using AI and deep data. Avraham sat down with Dvir in the offices of Insight in Tel Aviv to discuss how Dvir came up with the idea, the challenges that he and his company have had implementing their technology, getting funded, tips for startup founders, and much more. This podcast is a creation of JMB Davis Ben David, an intellectual property law firm serving clients around the world. You have great innovations. We keep them safe. It's not enough to just have a great startup idea or innovation. If you don't legally protect your innovations, products, and brand, anyone can claim them as their own. We keep your great innovation secure. Learn more by going to jmbdavis.com. That's jmbdavis.com.
Thank you, Dvir, for inviting me to your offices and talking with me about Insight. Maybe you could start with explaining a little bit about what problem Insight solves.
I'm the CEO and founder of Insight. I hold a PhD in deep learning, computer science, worked both at Microsoft and Facebook, building personalization and recommendation engines, mainly trying to understand using big data and what people are going to look at, purchase, do. And now at Insight, we are helping financial institutions, fintechs, lenders, banks, credit unions in the US to build digital advisors, so personal bankers for end users to be able to do complex purchases and interactions like opening a loan, taking a mortgage, opening a CD or a savings account without the need of a banker, based on their own financial needs and capabilities.
What you're saying is essentially you're eliminating people. Now bankers won't be necessary and you're just going to be relying on computers for doing transactions.
So I think that already most bankers are doing the more complex things around the bank, which are defining the right interest in terms of the bank's balance sheet and helping clients with the more complex financial decisioning. But when it actually comes to the simple loan application process or a CD, usually we see that clients are struggling with pretty easy tasks, easy questions like, would I get a grace for my loan? Or can I have flexibility in terms of my CD? Now, all of these questions are questions that are already quite apparent and accessible within the website or the frequently asked questions pages. But today, clients, they are not used to go to these frequently asked questions. And moreover, they expect to find the answers to their questions where they're asking it and in the language that they asked it. And we often see that bankers are used to use the banking jargon, right? They used to use their terminology, which is not that intuitive for the end user. So we are just that mitigation layer helping clients understand what bankers are offering and helping bankers to speak out the client's language.
Can you tell me a little bit about how the idea was born and how did you become involved in it?
I worked at huge corporations, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of employees each. And the work of personalization and customer interactions, now termed as conversational AI, LLMs, Gen AI, etc., is something that up until recently was something that only those huge corporations were able to do. So as Microsoft, you had the ability and still have the ability to spend millions, if not hundreds of millions of these capabilities, personalization tools, understanding what your clients need, how to serve it optimally, etc. And the smaller organizations simply didn't have that capability as well. As a small organization, as a credit union in the Midwest with tens of thousands of clients, you simply don't have the tech capacity to identify and actually help them with personalized recommendations. And while working at Microsoft, I saw that gap where we are serving all of our billions of clients in a personalized manner, But when I go to my branch, I don't have the ability to get that same personalization, while as a bank, I do want to give that personalization capability. And it was in a good time for me personally when I felt that I wanted to do something more than working in a corporate, and it came to be.
Let me ask you a question about the services you provide. So as a user of various electronic banking services or all sorts of websites that I'm thinking that I'm talking to a person, do you give the impression that the person is interacting with a machine, or does the person actually think that they're speaking to a human?
We would never give the sense of speaking with the human while the client is not speaking with a human, with mm-hmm. a digital agent. So we always have disclaimers, or sometimes the first message is even a disclaimer saying that the client is speaking with a digital representative, and if they may decide to speak with a human, they are able to do so by simply freely in natural language say, I want to speak with a human representative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always an option. We do try to help them understand or give a sense of why they should work with digital agents. I will say that we now see more and more that clients actually prefer to speak with digital agents if it's in natural language, because digital agents will always try, no matter how many questions the client have, they will always try to facilitate and help the client's responses. So we sometimes even have conversations with like 50 and more questions from the client, and, mm-hmm. and the agent will never be like, stop it, while human agents sometimes do. It has its own advantages as well.
I see. A digital agent has unlimited patience.
Exactly. Exactly.
Unlike a human representative.
Exactly. And you know, we often see answers like, I don't get it. Like, what is a grace? Or we even have an anecdote where like a client was offered to open a savings account, and the client literally asked the representative, the digital representative, I don't understand, would I get money from my bank? They didn't understand. We often think that because we are in the like a financial ecosystem, that the clients have the financial wisdom that we have, but
right.
It's not always the case. So even a simple thing like, would I get the money by opening a savings account mm-hmm. is not something that is understandable from all clients. Now, sure. While many bankers don't even understand how to approach that kind of question,
mm-hmm.
using digital agents, as you said, they have the nerve to go on and on. And if a client will say, I don't understand, they will try to rephrase it. And if they will ask again, I don't understand, they will again try to rephrase it.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like infinite span to try and help mm-hmm. the end user in that manner.
Okay, so you explained a little bit about your transformation from big corporations to a small startup. But my understanding of the ecosystem here in Israel is that there are a number of AI companies. So what makes you guys unique in terms of your company?
So to address this question, we first of all need to drill down from AI as a whole, where AI serves many aspects, from computer vision to traditional personalization tools to actually where we are now residing, which is the integration between big data and personalization to conversational AI. And this is the spot which we reside, okay? And let me drill down even a bit more. Basically, what Insight is building and helping financial institutions with is the complete cycle of understanding who is the right client, and then approaching them in a way that is relevant for the right client at the right time, and actually closing the feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
So while some organizations or companies are trying to address that, who is the right client and where, and usually it's targeted for much bigger corporations or banks, while we are targeting the mid-market banks that usually don't have the capacity to use those Microsoft, Google's tools. But then, and more importantly, the ability to actually serve the end user as well in natural language. So mm-hmm. unlike, I would say, ChatGPT and bots, you might say, that help the client in a Q&A kind of way. So you ask a question and you get back a response. We take the complete user journey and try to help the client go through that entire user journey. So it's not a one-off, I have a question, I will now get a response, but it actually the consultation journey that the client is going through when they are interacting with their financial institution.
Can we switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about your investment and where it comes from?
We raised so far both our pre-seed and seed from Israeli investors, both VCs here in Israel and private investors, angels, CEOs of publicly traded companies.
So before we started recording, we're talking a little bit about where you're from and where I'm from. And you mentioned that you're born and raised here in Israel. And maybe you can touch on what influence being in Israel has on the company culture, and maybe just how the company has been developing.
I would start by saying that I think Insight is a unique company in the sense that while we are now 20 employees, we have people from all over the world, from the US, of course, to French employees, Russian employees, Swiss employees. People here came from Peru and probably some others that I now forgot, of course. So Insight is a unique place where many Jewish from all over the world came, and it happened quite naturally. Like I think no one in the company can put a finger on how did it come about. But today at Insight, again, although we are only 20 employees, English is the language of the company. Mm-hmm. Most of the employees don't even speak Hebrew. And yet I think that there is something really uniting in the way the company works, operates. I think that on the contrary, even celebrating things like Jewish holidays is much more impactful, where most of your employees and partners came from all over the world to live and work here.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's there is a really strong unifying sense of having people from all over the world come to Israel, to work in Israel, to live in Israel.
So it sounds like you've accomplished quite a bit in terms of where you've gone over the last 2 years since the company was started. Can you talk a little bit about what your markets are, where you intend to be in, you know, down the road a little bit?
You asked the right question when we started. You asked, like, are you replacing bankers now with digital agents? And right. I think it is like a valid maybe concern for some, but also extremely appealing for many of the organizations that we are working with. And I think that, like, we are now in a really unique place where companies can focus their operational costs in actually improving customer experiences and also increasing revenue. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly where Insight is trying to fit in. What I mean by that is by mitigating the operational cost of customer service representatives, which cost a lot, where we mainly see now, especially in the US, two big movements. The first movement is companies that are doing offshore customer service, right, and the feedback there is awful. Big corporations moving their customer service to India, Nepal, and other places, and then, like, year after, already all their customer service surveys go well below one star of quality.
Wow.
And yeah, and the others trying to find automated ways to solve that gap, because unfortunately the price of having customer service representatives within the US is just extremely high right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe, at least how we read the map, that even those that are now moving to India and these other places will gradually shift to automated solutions as well in the future. So eventually, mm-hmm, everyone will consolidate into having automated solutions for customer service and sales for end users.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our market, building customer service solutions for financial institutions in the US.
Mm-hmm.
While we started only with banks and credit unions, we are now also working with lenders, wealth management companies, and also debt consolidation companies. Both debt consolidation and wealth management are really good examples of companies that are actually serving clients with really good products.
Mm-hmm.
But when the client is coming to their website, and we often see it, they are like, what the hell is going on? Like, we have surveys to clients, to end users of debt consolidation companies, and they are like, I don't even understand, what do I need to provide in order to start the application process?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a complex financial tool. Now, because they moved all their customer service offshore, people are calling these customer service representatives, but they don't feel that they actually understand their needs. And suddenly, they have an interface to ask any question they have. And also, like, in terms of privacy, we often see that people are even feel more comfortable going back to your digital advisor compared to your representative. People now feel more comfortable sharing their financials,
mm-hmm,
with the digital advisor.
Yeah, they're not getting judged by their,
exactly,
financial advisor this way.
Exactly. Suddenly it's like, yeah, I took a $50,000 loan for my wedding,
mm-hmm,
and I now need a solution for that. and they feel much more okay with sharing it with their digital advisor. Mm-hmm. Now, behind the scenes, of course, we can't without those debt consolidators, loan officers, human experts that actually know how to solve their problems. Mm-hmm. But in order to get that initial form of what are my problems, what is my debt, what should I do with it, that is something that we are now able to help with and mitigate the extremely long customer service calls, sometimes even get to half an hour mm-hmm. with that digital advisor.
Very interesting. Can you talk a little bit about your hurdles and what were your biggest hurdles moving forward as a company?
I would say, and I think I'm starting from there just because I think it's the biggest pain that Insight went through so far, is integration costs and integration resources needed in order to actually integrate to banks and financial institutions. I think that often, especially younger entrepreneurs and startups that don't come with the experience, don't understand how complex it is both from the sales cycle and from the integration itself to integrate with a bank, mm-hmm. from compliance to regulations to legal, to later on find the right architect in the right department and make him speak with the right cybersecurity guy to open up the right ports within the right servers. And I know it sounds super niche, the examples that I'm giving, but sometimes integration can be delayed by a month because the person that you looked for actually left the bank 3 weeks ago, but no one knew. So you waited for your project manager to find another person and it gets delayed and delayed. And I think that having the knowledge of how the processes work helps a lot in mitigating those problems mm-hmm. in asking from the bank, and banks are used to it. We now understand the importance of coming as pros and not only giving, but also demanding a project manager, demanding mm-hmm. an architect, demanding a bank of hours that is going to be prepaid for things that we didn't expect to happen, mm-hmm. to problems that might pop. And all these things are things that the banks are used to, but young startups are not used to ask for.
That's interesting. I was not expecting that answer of when you're developing a product, I would think that the actual development is more difficult. And you're saying that the integration, once you have a product already pretty much ready, just getting it into the bank is what's difficult.
Yeah.
I think that's an important take home message for startup founders.
Yeah, I would even extend that because again, I think that like this is one of the biggest things that now Insight is facing, is that, you know, you usually have your price for your product, whether it's the integration price, whether it's the monthly license, SaaS, you name it. And then you go to a bank and the chief architect comes and says like, your price is great, but we ask for double the money just for the integration costs from our end. And this is something that you're extremely not used to as a founder to understand that the organization has its own internal budget for right. implementation that they are moving from one department to the other. And when, let's say, the loan department wishes to buy a product that might increase their loan origination revenue, they need to also allocate from their budget and pay internally to the software engineers in order to help them do that process. So mm-hmm. you don't only need to champion the loan origination department, you also need the architects to like your solution and to champion it within, because they can as easily make the project to not follow through.
What sort of tips would you have for founders that are just starting out with a new company?
I would continue from the previous point and say it took Insight a lot of time to understand that, and we still live through it with some of our clients. I think that especially first-time founders and founders that are entering a market that they are maybe less experienced with, you have to have a clear product that you can prove its viability in a short period of time with a slim as possible POC. And what I mean by that is, if in order to show your value, you need to integrate to the databases of the organization, to the marketing capabilities of the organization, to the sales infrastructure of the organization, just to prove that you are actually being able to bring ROI to the organization, you are doing something wrong. because no bank, at least from our experience, right? Maybe other people have different opinions and experiences, but there is no way a bank or any financial institution would give an early stage startup the opportunity to test a tool that only in terms of integration will take half a year to integrate before having success stories with other companies. So of course, after having those first 10 clients, it's easier in that regard, saying it takes 4 months to integrate to Insight and take it or leave it. But up until then, in your ideation phase, when you're thinking on your idea, when you're pitching to your first clients, you need to find a way, and it's hard, but you need to find a way to find a proof of concept, a proof of value that takes minimal effort of integration. Mm-hmm.
From the client side.
Yeah. And I would like to give an example of the process that we took. So when we started, it was exactly like that. We told the banks that we pitched to that in order to show the value, we need to integrate to their data warehouse to identify the right clients for the right offers and to integrate to their mobile banking app. So when these clients are logging into the app, our advisor will pop up and start doing the sales process with those right. clients, right? And I hope it's clear for the people listening back home, but that's an extremely complex integration. Like mm-hmm. to integrate with the bank's data warehouse and mobile banking app, that's like a huge process. And our POC is now 100 times easier. We are choosing one Facebook ad that bank is promoting. And every bank in the US have some sort of Facebook advertisement, mm-hmm. whether it's for their loan rates, CD rates, savings, wealth, insurance, whatever. And for that single campaign, we brought our financial advisor to answer questions and help with leaving up details.
Interesting.
Now, of course, it's not as personalized as our full capability. It's not as tailored as our full financial advisor. But without having that offer, it's extremely too hard as an early stage startup to actually penetrate and convince the IT of the bank to give you a shot.
So you basically, this is your sort of way in through a very small campaign, and then you can convince the client that you have some sort of credibility and you can deliver and then get on a bigger project.
Exactly. Actually, it's when you pitch a client, the dream is in your head. And when you do that first POC, if it's successful, and of course, everything starts with good products, right? Like without a good product, nothing will sure. work. But after that initial POC, if you actually was able to prove in that small POC that you were able to convert more people than the traditional marketing campaign that they were used to, mm-hmm. it actually makes the point even stronger, because then the statement is, if in that small marketing campaign we were able to improve conversion by 30%, imagine what will happen when we will actually integrate to the mobile banking app. Mm-hmm. Now, the beauty is that once you did that, now it's not you selling within the organization. It's your champion going back to the head of marketing, head of sales, head of loan origination and telling them, look what we did with only one Facebook page, and it's not even with the entire capabilities of Insight.
Can you tell me where you see Insight down the road in around a year or around 10 years from now?
In a year, the path is hopefully clear. I think Insight is now in a phase where we need to generate as much value as possible for our current clients and prospects that we are now engaging with. As I shared with the marketing campaign example, we have many POCs that we are now pushing hard into show the value, have that foot in the door, showing the power of conversational AI for marketing and sales tools. In 10 years from now, I think everyone agree, from giants like Accenture and Microsoft to smaller organizations like ours, that offshoring customer service and sales departments is not the right solution. People hate it. People want to feel appreciated, and they want interactions to be personalized. They want to feel that the other side actually understands their financials and their needs. And there is a good reason why we went for the US as our market. It's the biggest financial market. It's the most diverse, and it also adapts innovation quite firmly. And we are now in the frontier of building conversational AI tools for the financial sector in the US. And this is where we see ourselves expanding.
Let's talk a little bit about intellectual property, IP. What role does IP have in your business strategy? And do you differentiate yourselves from others through your intellectual property?
I think when it comes to patents or like taking IP to a legal stage, we haven't initiated in that process yet, where we have consulted quite a bit with IP experts or legal advice on that aspect. I will say that yes, many of our investors, advisors, also clients sometimes ask about intellectual property. I think that especially now with ChatGPT on the rise and everything, some clients ask, why can't I do it myself? And why can't I build those financial advisors myself? Now, I will say, and we haven't touched on that yet, but Insight actually built its own large language model. So mm-hmm. we took what's behind OpenAI, but we actually trained it on past bankers' conversations in order to make the agent speak and feel like a digital advisor. And even more so, we were able to create like a chain of agents in order to actually address a complex interactions within the financial world. So we definitely should have a deeper discussion into that, defending our IP and making sure that like we have the ability to package our IP in the correct manner. Mm-hmm. And this is where we stand. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dvir. This is an excellent conversation. I'm glad I had the opportunity to meet you here in your Tel Aviv offices, and wishing you and your company lots of success.
That was Dvir Ginsberg, the CEO and founder of Insight. We hope you enjoyed this episode. There are many more to come. Do you have a great innovation or startup idea? We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us by going to our website, jmbdavis.com. And if you go to jmbdavis.com/startup, you'll see we have a special site specifically made for startups to help startups protect their innovations. Please be in touch with us and find out how we can help you. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to bringing you the next episode.